If you join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I am not worthy to have you into my home, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. And may they, by your Holy Spirit's work, accomplish your purpose in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. For your glory, in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, out of the heart of every believer flows a river of living water. Since it is unlikely that Jesus was referring to literal rivers pouring out of every Christian, what did he mean? Now, my puerile sense of humor wants me to say, gosh, can you imagine the mess if everywhere Christians went, there were rivers pouring out of them? John immediately tells us directly that the river is about the Holy Spirit by adding this commentary. Jesus said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were yet to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus had revealed to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come and live within them after he, Jesus, was glorified. What would this be like? It would be like living waters flowing out of their hearts. Now, this simple statement that Jesus makes is a picture and a story of the Trinity, of the life of the Trinity, of the God who is three and one. Listen, this May, we are going to celebrate three events: Easter, the Ascension, and Pentecost. In the Gospel of John, however, all these three events are brought together and happen almost at the same time. Jesus' victory, God's victory, was on the cross and on the day of resurrection. And after his resurrection, Jesus immediately appeared to his friends, breathed on them, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit was able to come because Jesus had now been glorified. The Spirit was not sent until Jesus had won his victory on the cross, and won his victory on the cross over sin and death and hell, and had risen again, and had gone into heaven to the right hand of God the Father. Remember that Daniel the prophet had a vision of this very thing happening. It's described in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel describes Jesus coming riding on the clouds into heaven, into God's very presence, where he is given all authority in heaven and on earth. And we know that Jesus then used that authority to intercede on humanity's behalf and to have the Father send the Holy Spirit to live within the hearts, within the innermost being, within the very center of the lives of those who lovingly serve Jesus. The river of living water is about God the Holy Spirit living within us. Now, a river flowing out of our hearts is clearly a metaphor. But let's not go too far with that. The Holy Spirit as the source of life, as living waters, that isn't a metaphor. Physical and natural life literally depend on the Holy Spirit. That is what we heard consistently in all the passages of Scripture. And certainly it's true from beginning to the end of the story of creation. Ezekiel, which was read for us, described a river of water flowing east and west out of Jerusalem. More specifically, out of the temple in Jerusalem. Again, a metaphor, a prophetic image. What does this river accomplish? Did you hear Ezekiel's beautiful words? When the river enters the Dead Sea, the water becomes fresh. Wherever this river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. There will be many fish, and everything lives where the river will go. People will stand fishing by the sea. It will be a place for nets, for spreading of nets. On both sides of the river, there will grow trees for food of all kind. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. And this vision, this dream, this prayer is echoed again in the revelation to John. The angel showed John the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river was a tree of life with its kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Everything will live where the river goes. The river changes the physical landscape as it flows. Stagnant water is made fresh. Creatures live. Human work and business thrives and is productive. All kinds of trees and plants grow and flourish. They produce fruit constantly. The city is green, full of life, and nations are healed. The prophet Zechariah also described living waters. Zechariah wrote, "On that day, living waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half going to the eastern sea, half to the western sea. This river will continue in summer and in winter, and the Lord will become king over all the earth. On that day, living waters will flow from Jerusalem. What day is that? The day that the Lord becomes king over all the earth." These were the words we meditated on last week. The words of Jesus: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The cross and the resurrection is the victory of God. And yet we are waiting for the return of the King. But as Jesus has been given all authority, as the victory has been won, therefore, in the same way, the Spirit, the river, has also come. And though it has come, we know we are waiting for something fuller, something more complete. And yet we begin to experience now the authority of Jesus in our lives. We also experience the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the benefits of that river flowing in us and in creation. In the passages we read, the water flowed out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, out of the throne. In each case, therefore, the river's origin is the center of God's physical presence and God's authority on earth. First of all, Jerusalem is David's throne. It is the place of which God said, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.'" This throne in Jerusalem is the one that was given to our Lord, to Jesus. Jerusalem is also the location of the temple, the place where people could go to meet physically with God, to visit the very presence of God, where the pillar of fire had once been and the pillar of smoke had once been. The high priest would pass first the outer wall, then the first door, then the second door, and finally through the final curtain into the Holy of Holies. And there sat the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Indiana Jones movie made the Ark look like some sort of treasure chest that could be carried around with who knows what inside it. But we should instead remember how it was described, how it is described in Scripture. Perhaps you've seen thrones throne seats whose armrests have been carved into fierce creatures, or sometimes mythological creatures, armrests that resemble lions, or lions with wings, or lions with wings and a human face. This is what is described for us. And perhaps you've seen royalty carried around on poles, on a royal seat. Or maybe if you've been reading Asterix, you've seen the chiefs carried around on their shields. This is exactly how the ark is described by Moses, as a carved and carried throne that is the seat of God. From the center, then, of God's presence on earth, from the very throne of God on earth, the place where God has authority, that is the source of the life that flows from the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, the river flows out of a believer's heart. Because your heart is meant to be a sanctuary for the very presence of God. Because your heart is meant to be the throne of Jesus. To be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to live a life of worship. It is to allow Jesus to rule in your heart. It is to allow the Holy Spirit to come and live within you, within your heart, within that deepest place where your desires are found, where your dreams and plans are found. And what are the signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Animals thriving, plants and nature thriving, businesses thriving, cities thriving, and language, culture, and governments, the things that make up a nation, thriving. This is the vision of the prophets, that the Holy Spirit is not meant to be put into a box for spiritual matters that have nothing to do with the physical, but rather that our hope and our dreams come with the arrival of the Holy Spirit, that life on earth continues to flourish only because the Holy Spirit renews creation. This hope is sealed within us when we receive the Holy Spirit. It is sealed because we experience this renewing of life only in part at the moment, just like the resurrection or the authority of Jesus on earth. But even if we only experience it in part, this is indeed the experience offered to every believer. Renewal in our bodies, renewal in our world, renewal in our hearts. Seeing that our work would prosper, our prayers would prosper through the coming of the Holy Spirit. Amen.